celebrities who are only interested in promoting themselves.
Right. Well, we could all talk about that in another share when we get back to talking about government. But anyway, what I want to share with us this evening is a topic that I shared actually over the course of Yom Tov. So I'm pretty sure, I think we have almost no overlap between the people who are at shul between Mincha Amarv at the end of Yom Tov and the regulars that we have on this year. So I'm going to share with you the topic that I share with them so that we don't have to lose out because we were safe and weren't at shul at that point. So the topic I want to share is about the prohibition of dancing and clapping on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So I wrote up most of it in an article before Yom Tov, before it went out. It went out before Yom Tov, but I want to share a little bit more of an analysis with you this evening. So this really ties into Simchas Torah, because on a regular year, there is dancing. Dancing is a part of the services. And it's not only a Simchas Torah, by the way. Don't worry. You know, if you're taking Simchas Torah pass, I don't want to hear about dancing. Anytime there's a Siyam, anytime there's a Sheva Brachos, a party that takes place on Shabbos, and everyone starts dancing, is that permissible? Or think about during davening. So, you know, imagine during Mizmor LeDavid, Kabbalah Shabbos, if people really get into it and they start making a circle around the Bima during Mizmor LeDavid. And then the people who get especially enthusiastic, they start clapping along with it. And then there's someone on the Bima who's drumming to the beat, who's making like percussion for the music. Is that permissible to do on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So has anyone ever thought of it being usher, first of all? Has that ever occurred to any of us that it might be prohibited to do that?
It has.
Oh, it has. And for what reason?
Number one, in our shul, it had not been the practice until one Friday night it got introduced, and a rabbi who was a member of the shul got up and left, and I got up and left because it was just getting too long with the dancing, the clapping.
Right. Okay, so right. One is that a tirchut and tzibura, which we talked about. I talked about this last week, Wednesday night. We talked about tirchut and tzibura, and how certain practices can make davening take longer than necessary, which imposes upon the time of the congregants. So that's one possibility. Can anyone wager what another possible halachic issue would be with dancing and clapping on Shabbos and on holidays?
Is that considered work?
Is it considered work? Well, in what way do you think it would be work?
Well, you're jumping around, you're moving, you're exerting energy, you're not relaxing.
Very good. So there's a general idea out there that we're not supposed to exert ourselves beyond what's necessary on Shabbos. It's a day of menucha. The way we walk on Shabbos should not be the way we walk during the week. So that's another consideration, Audrey. So good. That's also playing in the background. But what I want to bring to our attention is actually, while those reasons may be legit. Sorry, was there someone else?
Yeah, I would have said that maybe the clapping and the drumming is akin to using musical instruments.
Ah, very good. So, Phyllis, thank you for bringing that up. And that is the Mishnah and Beitza that we're about to see. So source number one, as Phyllis mentioned, let's zoom in a little bit so we can see it well. So the Mishnah and Beitza says, it gives us a list of things that the rabbis prohibited us from performing on Shabbos. And some of them might be familiar to us, such as Ve'ilahim Mishum Shvus, Lo Olim Be'ilan, we cannot climb a tree on Shabbos. I still remember during the summer when Yaakov Farachi had me cover and teach the B'nai Mitzvah kids. We're sitting in the manor apartments and there's trees over there. And I was trying to give them an example of a prohibition on Shabbos that the rabbi said you can't do. So I said, oh, you can't climb a tree on Shabbos. And then one of the kids who was about to climb a tree said, what do you mean I'm not allowed to do that? I said, what do you mean? It's a Mishnah. It says you're not allowed to climb trees on Shabbos. His mother was happy to hear that because now she could also tell him that it was prohibited religiously to climb trees. So she had some extra ammo in her pocket. V'lo rochon agabi mehema, don't ride a horse, don't ride an animal on Shabbos. V'lo shatan al p'nei amayim, and don't swim on Shabbos, right? The building the raft idea. We'll save that for another shir, by the way, swimming on Shabbos. Put that on the docket. That will be a future topic we'll discuss. But then, this is the part that's relevant for us. V'lo mitapchin, v'lo misapkin, v'lo merakdin. We're not supposed to clap. We're not supposed to hit ourselves in a way that causes percussion. And we're not supposed to dance on Shabbos and on Yom Tov and on holidays. So here we have an explicit rabbinical prohibition. The same way you can't move around muksa on Shabbos, you also cannot dance on Shabbos. Okay, so this is a bona fide rabbinical level prohibition. Should be treated seriously as anything else. And just before we take any comments on it, I just want to share the Gemara for what the reason is. What's the reason? The Gemara says, "V'lo mitapchin, v'lo misapkin, v'lo merakdin." Why don't we? Can't we clap or dance on Shabbos? Gezeira shemen yitakin kli shir, because we're concerned you'll come to assemble or to tune an instrument in order to accompany the dancing that and clapping that you are performing at the moment. That is what the Mishnah and that is what the Gemara says about dancing. So if I were to end right over here, and you were to come over to me and say, "Rabbi, can I dance on Shabbos during Mizmor David? Can I clap during davening? Can I bang on the bima?" I would say, if I just looked at this Mishnah, looked at the Gemara without anything else, no, absolutely not. Not only, you know, is it not a mitzvah, but it's actually an aveira. It's a sin.
So, just got finished with Simchas Torah.
Is that it? Lloyd speaking? I'm trying to find the video.
You hearing me?
Yeah, is that Lloyd speaking?
Yes.
Okay, I recognize you.
My wife's speaking. Anyway, in Simchas Torah, isn't there when you take out all the Torahs and you dance around the bima with the Torahs, you're dancing? And I've seen that done. And so how do we reconcile the fact that you can dance with the Torah, but you're not allowed to dance, apparently, without it?
Ah, very good. Everyone should know I paid Lloyd to ask this question. Perfect setup right here. So that is the question that we have to deal with. Exactly. I couldn't have said it better myself. How do we reconcile, like Lloyd said, our rabbinical level prohibition to dance on Yom Tov with dancing, which has become an institutional part of davening for Simchas Torah and for other kinds of occasions on Shabbos and Yom Tov as well? And by the way, lest we think Simchas Torah was something that was made up only a few years ago, we have records already of the dancing taking place in the times of the Gaonim already. So this goes back a really long time ago. So how do we reconcile the dancing that has become a mitzvah for us on Shabbos and Yom Tov with the prohibition of dancing on Shabbos and Yom Tov? How do we reconcile those two issues, right? Is that your question, Lloyd?
Yes, it is.
Okay, great. And that is what we are going to spend the bulk of our time addressing. Any other thoughts or comments before we move on to that? Solving Lloyd's question.
How about the fact that it says repeatedly in different ways in Tehillim? Specifically, it says Kol HaNeshama Tehallel Yah. Mm-hmm. So from many places, it talks about your bones are supposed to, you know, your whole body is supposed to be involved in praising and davening. You shuckle when you daven. So it seems to me as though there's a contradiction here. Either David HaMelech is right, or and everybody else is wrong, or the other way around. So I think we seem to go along, except for the musical instruments, with the fact that your whole body should be involved in the praise of Hashem, and that's one of the ways in which you do it, by moving your body, shake a lulav.
The answer to your question is inside the question, I think, which is there's nowhere to say you can't shuckle. If you want to say that David HaMelech said that we should praise God with our entire body as a form of worship, that could be bowing, right? How we bow in the temple, and even on Yom Kippur we do it as well.
Movement.
We bow down.
Movement.
So lav dafka, does that mean? Not necessarily does it mean dancing, though.
But he didn't say, he didn't talk about dancing. He maybe, right. You know, I mean, but movement, your whole body, your bones, your sinews, your muscles, everything should be involved in the praise of Hashem.
Absolutely.
And so how can you do that if you don't move?
Well, again, you're allowed to move. Let's not take Rabbi said you're allowed to move. Dancing is what they prohibit. Now, how we define dancing is something we'll need to discuss. That'll be one of the answers, by the way.
What?
We'll limit what dancing means. All right. Okay, so let's go to approach number one. So approach number one, we're going to find two approaches in the Rama. So if we recall, the Shulchan Aruch, which is a Jewish code of law, it has the Mechaber of Yosef Karo, and that's the Sephardic authority. And then the Rama's commentary or gloss on the Shulchan Aruch is the Ashkenazic authority. So I didn't put the Shulchan Aruch on here because the Shulchan Aruch basically just codifies what we read in the Gemara and the Mishnah with essentially no qualification for our purposes. He maintains that it is indeed usur, it's prohibited to dance on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So, but then the Rama says, wait a minute. If I look around, I see people all the time clapping and dancing on Shabbos. So why aren't the rabbis getting up in shul, give a clap on the bivam, make a macha, make a protest, and say, Rabosai, stop with the dancing. Stop with the clapping. It's an explicit Mishnah and Beitza that says you can't do it. Why don't the rabbis put their foot down on it? So obviously this assumes we're talking about rabbis that have the power to do that. Obviously, that can vary from one scenario to another. Some places you can't put your foot down and have everyone listen to you. But assuming we're in like a more from community where what the rabbi says automatically goes without any question, why are all these from rabbis not putting their foot down the same way they'll put their foot down on a myriad of other halachos that they see people not upholding? So the answer is, Mishum demutav shiushogin valyum mezidin. It's better that people should sin unknowingly than they should sin and being aware that they are sinning. Meaning, the clapping and dancing caught on so much within the Jewish culture on Shabbos and Yom Tov that the rabbis were afraid that if they told everyone to stop dancing, stop clapping, they would have nothing else to do with their time. I guess other than learn Torah, it's something they wouldn't be able to handle. So you know what? It's better we don't tell them it's prohibited rather than tell them it's prohibited knowing that they're not going to listen to us anyway.
Is there a Hasidic influence involved in the singing and dancing?
Does he what?
Hasidic influence.
Well, so the Hasidim come much later than Rama, of course, but right, so I think what we see today, which is an even greater amount of dancing in our culture, is probably partially thanks to Hasidic influence, which the singing and dancing and tishes are a huge part of their culture. But this predates the Hasidic movement. Mm. So even before the Hasidic movement came along, people were apparently clapping and dancing. Hasidim may have popularized it, but it was being done in Jewish communities beforehand. So the Ramas basically says, I see the issue Lloyd pointed out. On the one hand, it's prohibited to dance on Shabbos and Yom Tov. On the other hand, everyone's doing it. How do I reconcile the two? Well, there's no need to reconcile. The answer is simply what everyone's doing is wrong. And the Gezerah, what Rabbi said, remains fully in place. And you know what? It's just, it's our fault that we're not holding by it. It's our fault that we're not keeping to it.
Rabbis
figured out that if they said anything about it, nothing would change. So they figured, you know what? May as well have everyone commit a sin unbeknownst to them rather than they deliberately perform a sin.
Rabbi?
Yes.
What then would they have considered in their time Simchat Shabbos and Yom Tov other than eating? Eating and drinking wine.
There's no issur to sing. There's no prohibition to sing.
That would be the total simcha that you would have on Shabbos and Yom Tov?
I mean, well, the eating and the drinking, the menucha, Torah learning, and davening with singing, right? I remember, you know, you were telling us how it's beautiful to have a cantor who knows what they're doing in a choir.
Okay.
I think that can definitely go far, a long way.
So you have to sit in a chair and not move or whatever.
You're allowed to move.
Not make too much movement.
The dancing's the issue. But we will, Phyllis, rest assured, we will see approaches that validate dancing on Shabbos and Yom
Kippur. I know. I mean, obviously.
We just need to get to those. But according to Rama, you are correct that the Rama would say, you know what, you're not allowed to. But that is only, by the way, approach number one of the Rama. The Rama has a second approach.
And even Simchas Torah, he would say no?
Okay, good. We're going to get there later on. All your questions are good. We are going to address if Simchas Torah is different or not. Very good.
Okay, now another thing that we do in our shul is that when we have a Simcha, an announcement of a Ufraf or a Bar Mitzvah or Bat Mitzvah, no, a Bar Mitzvah, not Bat Mitzvah. We dance right in the area in front of the Bima and we're on. You know, in the Ark. So there we get another case where we are dancing.
Yeah, sure.
With the Holy. Right.
Yep.
There's no
I think I know what you're describing. I know when
as
I was
much as possible, you'll see it.
So when I was back in Plainview, they would do something like that also. If someone had an Ufrif that Shabbos, they got an Aliyah, they would do like the Gabayim and him would like form this little circle around, and they would make like when they sang Mazel Tov.
Yeah.
And I know my father, I think it was during my Ufrif, my father-in-law was adamant. He said, you could give me an Aliyah, but you can't dance with me afterwards because I don't want everyone sitting and twiddling their thumbs while I'm in the middle of dancing. So he was very sensitive to the Tircha de Tzivura. But again, that's not the main issue. Anyway, let's just hold questions for a little bit because we really need to cover some ground. So let's do me a favor. Let me summarize our trajectory from here on. I'm happy to take more questions. We've only covered approach number one. We have three more approaches. So I know we're going to have lots of questions about these three more approaches. So I'm happy to circle back. Let's just try to get through a few more of the approaches and then I'll pause and I'll let everyone know when we'll take a few more questions. All right. I can see we have a lot to contribute on this topic. Thank God. All right. Approach number two of the Rama. The Yesh Omrim to Vizman HaZeh HaKol Shari De'en Anu Bekim Basiyas Klishir. Actually, you know, better yet, the Rama is quoting from the Bali Tosos, from the Ashkenazic medieval commentary on the Gemara. So the Bali Tosos, they say as follows. Shem Yitaki Klishir, Mihu Lididon Shari. Nowadays, for our communities, it is okay to dance. It is okay to clap on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why? Didafka b'yemei and shani b'kiyin las klishir shayach l'migzar. Back then, now don't ask me why back then it's any different, but we'll just have to take it for granted. Back then, everyone knew how to fix and assemble instruments. So there it makes sense to institute a gezeira, to institute a rabbinical level prohibition against dancing because you might come to assemble fixed instruments. However, avolidi don, einonu bekim las klishir, velo shayich lemigzar. But whereas for us, where most people don't know how to fix instruments on a regular basis, we're not concerned that they are going to, and that if you dance and if you clap on Shabbos and Yom Tov, that you're going to come to fix an instrument. That concern just doesn't apply for us anymore. So therefore, the ban that the rabbis had in mind don't apply to us either. And by the way, if you just look at the language over here, it's very interesting. It says, "Velo shayach lemigzar." It's not possible to be gozer. The implication, by the way, is it sounds like almost that we usually assume that when the rabbis institute a prohibition, even if the original impetus for that prohibition no longer applies, the gezeira, the ban, remains in place until a greater court comes and revokes it. I'll give you an example. For instance, when it comes to the when it comes to medicine on Shabbos. So there is a rabbinical prohibition to take medicine on Shabbos. There are many exceptions, by the way. I think Rabbi Ari Leibowitz, he had like a two-part shiur on it where he listed like 14 exceptions to the rule. There's so many exceptions that the rule almost no longer applies. For instance, if, you know, something you take on a daily basis, if it's something that, you know, is a food otherwise, like all sorts of different dispensations. But the point is that there's still an issue, there's still officially on the books a ban to take medicine on Shabbos for no good reason, because maybe you'll come to crush and make medicine on Shabbos. Now, the way you would make medicine is by grinding, by crushing, which is prohibited on Shabbos. But the ban remains in place, even though most of us, we don't make our own medicines. We swallow pills that are already pre-made by the pharmacy. They've already been processed, yet the ban remains in place. So Rav Moshe Feinstein is very troubled by his Tosos, because Tosos, which is codified as the second approach in the Ramah, is essentially diametrically opposed to the first answer. The first answer says the Gezeira remains fully in place and we're all sinning because we're not living up to the expectations. This is the antithesis of that. This says the Gezeira completely dissipated. The ban is no longer here. Why? Because our current circumstances doesn't warrant a ban on dancing and clapping, because we're not concerned. People don't know how to fix instruments.
What does the instruments have to do with dancing?
Well, the instruments is because the instruments go together with dancing.
Not necessarily.
What?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily, but we'll talk about that. That'll be the Aruch HaShulchan. Very good. We'll get there in a few sources, God willing. So the Igros Moshe, he picks two issues with Tosos. Number one is that who's to say that we don't know how to fix instruments today any more than they did back then? Was everyone back then a musician that they knew how to fix instruments? And is everyone today just ignorant of it? It just, first of all, the metzias, the assumption Tosos is making, requires some kind of proof. Who's to say that the knowledge of fixing instruments was better back then or worse right now? That's number one. Number two, he says, to alkol panim, me'achar shenesar b'minyan, ein lahatir, ashakol tam batal, even though the tam is no longer here. Once the rabbi, as we just said, as once the rabbis instituted prohibition, even if the impetus, the circumstances that warranted that prohibition are no longer in place, still, the prohibition remains in full force. That's his question. We understand the question, right? Just pure clarification. If I'm not clear, I just want to clarify. Okay. So Yesh Lomar, Rav Moshe Feinstein answers as follows. The chemet sheyadua shekolach hachamim sheb'olam hayu maskimin lahat imach shobrin. You know what? If we look back at the first answer of the Ramah, what's the first answer? That the rabbis, they knew it was prohibited, just they didn't want to tell us it was, because then we wouldn't listen. Rav Moshe Feinstein infers from there that really the rabbis kind of had this implicit understanding that if the tam, if the impetus for the prohibition no longer applies, they're okay doing away with it. Because if the rabbis of the previous generations truly felt that we are not allowed to dance and clap on Shabbos and Yom Tov, then they really would have put their foot down on it. But the fact that the rabbis didn't protest the fact that people were dancing and clapping, it indicates that really, once the reason's no longer there, there was this implicit agreement that the ban would dissipate along with the reason. Hayuvade wrote some zerakshas hayatam lo hayuchol nevatel mishum shekvar pashta. Back then, they just weren't able to revoke it. Nowadays, where rabbis are okay with dancing and clapping, or I guess most rabbis, because there's a number of rabbis that still are opposed to it, there's this implicit agreement, this implicit understanding that the Gezeirah no longer applies. And basically, you know, maybe I don't fully understand Rav Moshe Feinstein, but he essentially, I think he almost exacerbates, you know, I'll try to say respectfully, I think he almost exacerbates the issue with Tosfos when he tries to answer it. Because essentially what Rav Moshe Feinstein says is that certain rabbinical prohibitions, as long as the rabbis kind of are all fine with it dissipating, then we could do away with it. Which really, when you think about it, if that's true for the prohibition of dancing and clapping, it should be the same for other prohibitions. Like, take a look at the Mishnah, remember? What got grouped together with dancing and clapping? Riding an animal on Shabbos. Oh, here's a good one. How about swimming?
Riding a bike. Riding a bike.
Right. Well, okay. Riding a bike was a, did we do that class yet?
I don't know.
We didn't do it together yet. So that'll be a separate class that God willing will do together about whether riding a bike's an issue. But certainly riding an animal is an issue. Or what about
the bike is the same reason as the instrument.
There never goes around bikes. Bikes didn't exist yet. The question is if it extends to bikes, but God willing, we'll address that. But the point being is that Tosos and Rav Moshe Feinstein, they walk down what would be considered a dangerous path of sorts. Obviously, Rav Moshe Feinstein, I have no right to disagree with him. But I want to note that without fully understanding Rav Moshe Feinstein, it sounds almost like any rabbinical prohibition could just be undone if we just say that the rabbis implicitly understood that it could go away when they wanted it to go away. Ein kam makom laharich. This is a topic that deserves its own separate shiur, but this is all to say. Let's just summarize our first two approaches. Remember, approach number one, the Gezeirah is in full force. We are all sinners because we're dancing and clapping. Approach number two, the antithesis of that, the Gezeirah is fully gone. Therefore, we could dance and clap the night away and do as much of it as we want in Shabbos and Yom Tov. Two opposite extremes. And it's interesting to note that the Ramah could only conceive of these two opposite extremes. Either the Gezeirah is in full force or the Gezeirah is completely gone.
Right.
However, there is a third approach I want to share. And after I share approach number three, I'll pause to take any questions. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, Faz, and Phyllis, this may have been a point that you were alluding to. The Aruch HaShulchan says, yes, there is a ban on dancing. But what kind of dancing did the rabbis prohibit? This is going to be a more moderate approach where, A, we maintain the Gezeirah is in place, the prohibition remains in place to dance. But B, we're also going to validate and we're going to substantiate how people are dancing on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the answer is, Lofianias Daiti, Nir Tam Pashat, the Sipak Varikat Shalana Lo Neser Me Olam. The kind of dancing that we do on Shabbos and Yom Tov, generally, that kind of dancing that most of us do nowadays, that's not what the rabbis had in mind. The Bizman Chazal, Lo Haya Zeb Eishim Zamar Mekli Shir, what kind of dancing did the rabbis refer to? The kind of dancing and clapping that was done, that wasn't just simply done along with singing, but was done along with instruments. Nowadays, the kind of dancing and clapping you see that we do on Shabbos and Yom Tov, that's not necessarily the kind that goes hand in hand. It's not. It could be done with instruments, but lav dafka, it's not necessarily done with instruments. El ba'esha shorim b'fad shirei simcha, mitapchen kapo kafti po ba'ama, v'lopi sidrei ashir. But the Aruch HaShulchan says that when we're singing Mizmor L'David and Shul, and we just happen to clap along, that's not the kind of clapping that goes hand in hand with instruments. That's more like the ikker. What primarily is going on here is we're singing a song, and then I happen to tap my hands along with it. Whereas the dancing that the rabbis were concerned for wasn't necessarily the dancing that you would see in shul necessarily, but the type of dancing that goes hand in hand with instrumental music. So what's important, though, is that according to the Aruch HaShulchan, maybe simple dancing would be okay that's not done with instruments, but the kind of dancing that would be done with instruments, I don't know, maybe the hora or the yidden dance, something that would require, that usually has a band along with it, that is the kind of dancing that the rabbis prohibited in the Mishnah. Ah, so that could be an answer, because if the kind of dancing that we do in shul during davening is qualitatively different than the kind of dancing that goes on, that goes hand in hand with instruments, then we could say the rabbis prohibited music that is associated with instruments. They did not prohibit, they did not ban dancing that is not associated with instruments, which makes sense, because then there's no concern I'm going to come to repair, assemble an instrument if this kind of music has nothing to do with instruments to begin with. That is the approach of the Aruch HaShulchan. Mm. Now, there is another approach that is attributed to Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach. It's similar to the Aruch HaShulchan, but I'll point out what the subtle difference is. So the Aruch HaShulchan is here in source number 7. The Aruch HaShulchan says, let's see if I can just move this over a little bit. I don't know why my computer's not letting me do that. Okay, we can see the source though, right? So the Aruch HaShulchan says, sorry, the Shulchan Shlomo says, or Shlomo Zalman Orbach, it's not about, the Aruch HaShulchan, what did he stress? He stressed not the style of the dancing, but the context of the dancing. Is this a dancing that goes along with instruments, or is it a dancing that just goes along with singing? For Shulchan Shlomo, for Shlomo Zalman Orbach, it's not about when you do a certain kind of dancing. It's how you dance. It's the type, the style of dancing. That which, if we look, whenever someone finishes a Masechta of Gemara and they make a Siyum celebration on Shabbos and Yom Tov, what kind of dancing do we do? It's nothing that elaborate, really. We make a circle. It's a shuffle. The circle dancing that we do in shul, or that we do at a siyum or a sheva brachos, you call that dancing? That's not dancing. Rather, what did the chazal have in mind? What did the rabbis have in mind to prohibit? The dancing that's more of an art form, that's more of a sport, of a mashnogim hayom lasi halicha ba'alma, ashalicha zuhi b'mach. So what is the kind of dancing that we do? It's halicha ba'alma. It's merely walking. The circle dancing, we call it dancing, but it's not really a dance. It's a shuffle. When we just, go, ashrayam shekachalot, right? And we're just, holding the, putting our hand on the shoulder of the person in front of us, or we are walking in a circle or saying, ashrei me, right? So that's not dancing. So yes, the gezeira is in full force. We are still not allowed to dance on Shabbos and Yom Tov, ad hayom hazeh, to this very day. But we have to know how to define what constitutes dancing and what doesn't fall to the category of dancing. And the answer is, according to Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, is that a circle or a shuffle doesn't fall into the category of dancing. And since it is not defined as dancing, it doesn't fall into the ban of dancing. So that can really validate what we do on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And he says it's very similar to what we do during Hoshanas as well. And that actually is what we did this past Simchas Torah. This past Simchas Torah at our shul, we had a man on one side, a woman on the other side holding the Torah. And then in the respective circles, and we made our way just walking around Hoshana style, singing songs, socially distant, outdoors, mass. And we were singing songs as we walked around the person who was holding the Torah. So that actually is not problematic at all. And that might be the ideal way to do it, because you're merely walking. It's halicha ba'alma. There's no dancing. According to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, what do we need to be careful about? We need to be careful about jumping up and down and the more elaborate, more aggressive is the wrong word. Enthusiastic also, I'll try to think of the right word, more disorderly kind of dancing, that could be something that's more problematic. Some posts can say that the distinction between dancing versus not dancing is if there's a point in the song that both your feet are off the ground. So if both your feet come off the ground at some point, that's a real form of dancing right there. But if you know you always have, if you have one foot on the ground at all times, that's not really dancing. That's not that intense. So that's your Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's approach. And that's approach number three, which I think really reconciles our original question. The gezeira against dancing remains in place, but a lot of what we do doesn't constitute dancing. Hence, it's not prohibited. So that's a very, I think, balanced approach to answering this question. Let me just pause I'll take two questions. You'll just give a chance in case someone hasn't had a chance to ask or point out anything yet. And then we'll move on to the final approach in the class. So does anyone who hasn't asked a question yet have any thoughts or ideas they want to share? Okay.
What instruments are we talking about?
What kind of instruments are we talking about?
I haven't seen any instrument in the shul on Shabbos, maybe even shofar.
Right. Well, that because there's a separate prohibition of playing instruments on Shabbos. And then because of that concern, that's why we're not allowed to dance.
That's so silly.
But there is no instruments. So
yeah, not today.
Well, dancing, when the rabbi said you can't dance, they didn't say you can't dance in shul. They said you can't dance in general. So this isn't limited to just shul. You wouldn't be allowed to dance in your house, or you wouldn't be allowed to do special dancing, anywhere over the course of Shabbos and Yom Tov. So I hear your point, right? You're saying is, well, why would the rabbis be concerned if we eliminated instruments from shul to begin with? What's the concern of someone all of a sudden starting to play an instrument during davening? The answer would be is that we're concerned also that someone might assemble an instrument when they're outside of shul on Shabbos. So I think that's where it comes into play. But you would be right. It would be a little bit more far-fetched if it was limited specifically to shul. Shul I just bring up because that's usually where we see people dancing on Shabbos. But it certainly wouldn't be limited to the context of shul. So that's a good point, Alex. Thanks for bringing that up.
I was wondering, does this, with respect to instruments on Shabbos, would this relate to not carrying instruments on Shabbos because you might come to carry outside an Erev?
So not specifically for instruments, but the concern that you're bringing up relates to a shofar, which is the reason we're not allowed to blow a shofar on Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah is rabbinical, because you might have come to practice it beforehand, and then you'll carry it through a shusha rabbim, through a public domain. So that's not the... that's not the issue of instruments. That's the issue of shofar, which is similar, I guess. It's not an instrument, but it's similar to an instrument in that respect.
I always thought the problem with instruments was that it was after the temple's destruction.
Okay, very good. So Susan, right? Was that Susan? Okay, so Susan, very good. So another class we will get to, probably much later, that I'm going to save for the sphere of the 3 weeks. Which is, it says in the Gemara in Gittin, after destruction of the temple, we're supposed to be in Avela, so we're not supposed to have music. But there's at least four different approaches in Rishonim as to what that prohibition is. Is it instruments? Is it instruments in the context of drinking alcoholic beverages? There's different understandings of what that prohibition is. So, God willing, we'll save that for a future class. But this is assuming, of course, that we are able to play instruments to begin with.
So Rabbi, there's one thing that didn't come up. I'm surprised. One said anything about the fact that dancing could lead to touching.
You're saying during COVID-19?
No, anytime. No. Dancing could lead to touching. The old thing they used to say, touching could lead to dancing. So somehow they're intertwined in some way.
Are you saying mixed dancing?
No, not mixed, but you might come to touch. A man touches a woman, a woman touches a man, and
well, that
and
would be dancing. Mixed dancing.
Well, okay.
I didn't mean to dance together. I meant just even in a circle, you know.
Well, that's why we have a mechitza. That's why we have the separate circles. So that way we're very far away from that. Toby.
Yeah, I've been to many, some like bar mitzvah celebrations where the whole celebration is only on Shabbos. And there's no musical instruments, certainly not. But there's an encouragement of making it very Leibedic for the young man. And so there's definitely dancing that you would call, you know, in the separate circles, but it gets pretty lively, you know. So
sometimes they're 2 feet off the ground, right?
Right. So is there any exception for a simcha that just happens to be on Shabbos? Was this directive supposed to be, like these laws, more to restrict what was going on during davening?
So these laws seem to prohibit the entire Shabbos. At least from what I've seen, it doesn't indicate specifically davening, but the question comes up because what's the most likely place we're going to see it happen would be over the course of davening. And like you pointed out, let's say there's a simcha on Shabbos. So that actually,
right, I'm talking about the part of the simcha already where you're in the suda. So you're no longer right. In the shul. You could be, you know, the social hall or wherever, maybe the house. And now everybody's singing, you know, very happily. And there are separate circles of dancing.
So the challenge is that the Mishnah, I didn't put the full text of the Mishnah, but it says these are things that are prohibited on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. So it's on the entire day. It's not on the place. I kind of stressed the shul just as the culprit, the likely culprit of where the dancing will be found on Shabbos. But the text of the Mishnah itself says these are things that are prohibited on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. So it doesn't say these are things that are prohibited to do in shul because it talks about swimming. It talks about riding animals. You know, no one rides a donkey into the shul. No one goes for a swim inside the shul. So, you know, it'd be a hard argument to make, but perhaps a grounds for leniency for a bar mitzvah may come from the next few sources we're going to see, and you'll tell me if you're convinced by it or not.
Okay.
So the final exception to our rule, the final answer to reconcile how we're dancing, especially on Simchas Torah, even though it's prohibited, is kind of almost like a lackluster answer, but the Ma'arik says it's adopted by the Magen Avraham and then in Mishnah Berurah as well. The Magen Avraham says pretty simply, "L'chavod haTorah mutar larakei b'simchas Torah." When it comes to kavod haTorah and it comes to giving honor to Torah, that was a built-in exception to the rule that the rabbi sanctioned. The rabbi said you can't dance on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But when it's dancing for kavod haTorah, for honoring the Torah, on such as simchas Torah, that would be permissible. In fact, it might even be a mitzvah to do it. Because it's not recreational dancing, but it's dancing for honoring God. Now, the question is, though, does that mean this simchas Torah is the only exception to the rule? Or maybe Simchas Torah is really a paradigm for any kind of celebration of Kavod HaTorah on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. So actually, if you look at the Munkacher and Minchas Elazar, he writes, "V'imkein shuv yishomer gam v'chol Simchas Yom Tov rikunim zipukim belo kli mutar." He says, actually, I can make the argument that for any form of celebrating Simchas Yom Tov, it'd be permissible to dance on and clap on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, at least on Yom Tov. So logically, I see what he's doing. He extrapolates from Simchas Torah to any Yom Tov. Because if I can dance to honor God on Simchas Torah, why can't I dance to honor God on any Yom Tov? The issue is that then why is the Mishnah saying that you're not allowed to dance on Shabbos and on Yom Tov? It's really to say you can't dance on Shabbos then. The Mishnah should tell us there's a dispensation for dancing for Kavodat Torah, which is, by the way, the Munkacher's question. He says, and for I guess for those who were there for my speech on Shmini Atzeres, you already know what the answer is, right? So then, wait a minute. If dancing to honor the Torah is an exception to the ban of dancing on Shabbos and Yom Tov in general, why did the Mishnah, or at least the Gemara, tell us that? That's a really useful exception to the rule to know. You'd think if it's really an exception, the rabbis probably would have told us that, right? So I think it's such a good question that I think actually his extrapolation has to fall through. That's personally how I would answer it. I think the question's so good that there isn't a good answer to it, that actually you can't do the dancing in Shabbos and Yom Tov. But his answer, I'll share with you. I don't think it's a good answer to this question, but I think it's a good philosophy toward dancing in general. He says, why didn't the rabbi say that it's a mitzvah to dance and therefore you're allowed to dance on Yom Tov? He says, Kevin she'eino mitzvah l'chol adam, because dancing is not a mitzvah for every person. Rak l'nisho bo'er b'kir bo rashvei ishal heves Hashem simchas Yom Tov asher n'chilanu, for people who feel a burning desire to dance, and that is their way of expressing their enthusiasm, love, and fervor for serving God, for them, it is a mitzvah to dance. But not for every single person. Why? Because for some people, it's a tircha. Right? We talked about tircha and tzibur in the past. So a tircha for some people is to dance. It's laborious. The eino simcha shel mitzvah. You can't say there's a simcha shel mitzvah. There's a gladness, a joy of serving God. It means choshek lav. It's not something that appeals to you. There's no mitzvah to dance, but if it's something that speaks to you on an individual level, then dancing could be a mitzvah of serving God. But for, I'll just speak for myself, for someone like me, really all I'm thinking about is, oh gosh, I have my suit jacket on and my tie and my talis. And all I feel like right now is I feel like I'm sweating. I need to take a shower. So if that's what's on your mind the whole time, fortunately, when I'm dancing, I'm not thinking about God. I'm thinking about how we can move our kavos along so I can take a shower at home, which taking showers in Yom Tov will be another shir, put on the docket. But if you want to halach l'maisa, I can tell you some other time. But I think warm showers are okay. Granted, we don't use soap and shampoo, but I'll share that for another time. The point being is that dancing actually is a subjective experience. For some people, it is amazing. That is the world for them. They are giving their body over to God. That's how they feel. That's what they feel like they're doing. And so that is like an ultimate form of service of them serving God with their entire body, like Phyllis mentioned, David HaMelech, King David mentioned in Psalms and Tehillim. But for many people who don't desire it, it's not a mitzvah if they don't feel any form of connection, if that's not a way of expressing fervor to God. Therefore, the Munkacher says, that's why the Mishnah and the Gemara didn't say that dancing, since it's a mitzvah, is an exception to the rule. Because dancing is only a mitzvah for some people, but not for other people. That's the Munkacher's answer. And I think, you know, above it being an answer for the Gemara, I think it's a very important philosophy toward dancing to understand that the way I feel close to God is not the way the next person feels close to God. It's true. We have 613 mitzvos. We got to keep those mitzvos, whether we feel personally connected to them or not. That's what a mitzvah is by definition. It's an obligation. It's a commandment. But on top of that, when we try to find individual ways to connect to God, I'll give you an example. When I was in Shalvim, it's known to, that was my gap year program in Israel. They're known to be really into dancing. They did Karba Shabbos literally every single Shabbos with Karba Shabbos, with dancing. During Mizmor David, they danced for at least like 5 to 7 minutes around the Bima. Actually, what I did that time, I enjoyed the first few weeks. Then when you do the same thing over and over again, it becomes, a tircha. It becomes laborious. So I actually had a certain sefer called Kovetz Yisosach HaKiros and has entries on different Talmudic concepts. So I made a seder then. When everyone was dancing for 5 to 7 minutes, I had nothing else to do. So I just read another section from that sefer every single week during davening. And I actually made a lot of progress in the book, thank God. But that was a good use of time. But the point being is that certain experiences are going to be great for some people. They're not going to be great for other people. So like when I was in Shalvim, somehow some of the speeches that the rabbis there gave really touched and inspired a lot of the students. I already walked in there knowing that I wanted to learn and I wasn't really looking for inspiration. But the most inspirational thing I actually found in my gap year, when I was my 2 years in Shalavim, was not any of the speeches from any of the rabbis there, but it was during my break time, my friend introduced me to Les Miserables, and I watched it over the course of three consecutive breaks. So after I finished watching Les Miserables, I was more inspired by watching the recording of it than I was by all the speeches I heard that entire year. What is that to say? The point being is that inspiration is subjective, and we have different ways of expressing it. Right. And as long as someone is keeping halakha, is keeping the laws, is not breaking any form of halakha, then, you know, if they find certain things connect that make them feel more passionate about serving God, then matova manayin, that's beautiful and that's wonderful. So let me just quickly summarize what we have and then conclude. We have four approaches to reconciling our question. Our question was, the rabbis say you're not allowed to dance and clap on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but we do it all the time, especially in Simchas Torah. It's an official part of the program. How do we make these, how do we reconcile these two facts? So one answer was, there is no reconciliation. The Ramban's first approach, you're not allowed to dance, we're sinning. Okay, no reconciliation. Approach number two, the opposite extreme from Tosfos and Beitza. Excuse me.
But he said also, don't tell anyone, because otherwise... Yeah. They'll be sinning if they
right,
know.
Right, exactly. So don't, that's it. So we don't tell anyone because they'll be sinning if we know that they're not going to listen. The second approach is the opposite, which is that the gezeirah just no longer applies. That also seems untenable. So then the third approach is a more moderate and more balanced approach. The gezeirah still applies and we're allowed to dance. Just the dancing we're doing, like a circle shuffle, doesn't fall into the category of dancing that the rabbis referred to. Hence, we're allowed to do that. And then the fourth approach is that dancing for honoring God, specifically in Simchas Torah, which we celebrate God's Torah, that would be permissible. But it should just we should just understand, however, that not every dancing that we do is necessarily honor to the Torah. So when we dance at a Sheva Brachos, we're not giving honor to the Torah. We're giving honor to the couple that got married. And when we're dancing at a bar mitzvah, unless you want to spin it some way that I can't really stretch my mind.
I would spin it that a bar mitzvah is reaching the age of taking on all the mitzvot and he's studying, he's read his Torah portion for the first time and all of that. I think there's some kavod of the Torah there.
Okay. Right, so it's a little less apparent, but perhaps what you're suggesting, Toby, could be true. We could say we're celebrating this kid accepting upon himself the yoke of the Torah, and that, in a sense, is a celebration of Torah and the mitzvot itself. Okay, I could hear that. And so, finally, the last thing I want to point out is, who is the lenient opinion? The Ramah. But if you look at Rav Avadi Yosef, he says, yeah, but we follow Sfardim, we follow the Shulchan Aruch. Therefore, since the Shulchan Aruch, Shapasak Misakina Harifa, good play on the halachic concept. We get it, we don't, that he paskins with a sharp knife that we're not allowed to dance on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So he actually says to my fellow Sfardim, if you see other Sfardim who are dancing on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you should tell them to stop doing it. So by the way, you know, we always think that the Ashkenazim get the shorter end of the stick when it comes to
efficiencies.
Here's an example of where officially the Sephardim have it harder than the Ashkenazim. Now, I haven't gone to many Sephardic services recently.
What a killjoy.
But I'm not sure, you know, I guess someone who's Sephardi can tell us if they abide by that or not. Anyway, the last few things over here really are Rav Herschel Schachter's psak that we'll just leave for now. But he was basically willing to forgo dancing altogether this past Simchas Torah. He said, you know, if you're in a place where there are huge risks, additionally, Raku Klal, it's better not to dance at all on Simchas Torah. And Rabbi Glatt from in Woodmere, Rabbi Dr. Aaron Glatt, who's been very helpful in the educating the Orthodox community in COVID guidelines, he basically said at the end, maybe this year we celebrate and demonstrate our love of Torah with a special shir from the Rav, with the congregation mass and distant instead of dancing wildly. So I just like to be medayik, point out a detail there. I like his point, like, yeah, maybe it's better that the rabbi should give a class rather than everyone jumping around like a bunch of hooligans. So his point actually is not so much for this year. I think the point he was making was actually for all years, that there needs to be an important distinction. You know, even if we're going to make the argument that we can do more than just shuffling around in a circle, you know, there could be a little bit more ruach, a little bit more spirit. There has to be a fine line between enthusiasm versus hooliganism. So if someone like takes up a Torah by Tu Atzichayim and wobbles it around, God forbid, and it nearly falls down, that's not Kavanah Torah. That's the antithesis of Kavanah Torah. That's dishonoring the Torah by treating it like it's you know, like your kid's action figure. So we have to make sure that if we're going to dance, whether we're going to rely on leniencies or not, again, the Michas Elazar says there's different approaches, different strokes for different folks. But if we're going to rely on a leniency and we're going to dance, we have to do it by having in mind that why are we dancing? Because we're honoring God. So it has to be done in a way that's honorable to God and honorable to God's Torah. And also, we have to remember that if we're doing it during davening, where are we? We are in the abode of God. We are in the sanctuary of God. And certain things are appropriate to be done in a sanctuary of God, and certain things are not as appropriate to be done in a sanctuary of God. I'm not going to sit here and give all my guidelines and my whole editorial right now, but let's just leave it as, if we understand that we're in a sanctuary and we act accordingly, I think we'll all be in a good place, God willing. So this is relevant not just for Simchas Torah, but it's relevant for all year round. And God willing, we should be in a place again, Bekarav Yameinu, that we are able to dance together inside God's home.
Very nice.
All right.
Thank you.
If anyone needs to log off, you're welcome to log off. I'll stay for one minute to address any other questions or thoughts that
in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, they, instead of dancing, they enjoyed shechting. That was a pleasure.
I guess we don't have the shechting place, so there you go.
What about the drinking of the whiskey and the wine?
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah, what about it?
Imbibing, yeah.
Are all of these rules and regulations geared specifically to the men?
No. Dancing the same. Well, here's the thing. I don't think they expected women to dance back when
Women did.
Well, that's it. And what kind of dancing?
The same band would apply to women.
Yeah, you told me to sing, Rabbi. I'm not supposed to sing either.
What was that?
You told me to sing before, and I'm not supposed to sing either.
On singing.
You did. You mentioned the simcha as singing too. Why can't we sing?
You can sing.
Yeah, but you don't want me to sing. I'm a female.
When did I say that?
No, you didn't say that. But I'm just saying, according to the rules, I'm not.
You sing over the computer. It's not really singing.
No, this is a recording. I'll go on record and say you can sing on Shabbos.
Thanks.
I think it's that men should not hear women singing. Why? Huh?
What?
Men should not hear women.
Oh, so,
yeah, okay. That's what I meant.
That's what you meant. Okay, yeah. So Kol Yisha will be a future class we'll talk about.
That and the bike, fixing a bike.
The biking is also on the docket. So all things we'll get to all in good time.
Good stuff.
If you have an actual halach lemaisa, a practical question that you want to get an actual answer beforehand, I'm happy to talk about that, you know, one-on-one basis. But God willing, we'll explore the actual topics together in the coming weeks. So thank you all for joining us.
We started to talk about a behema.
We will talk about it in that class, God willing. All right, everyone. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.